Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 437. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will show you how at the end of the program. It's absolutely free. Please specify whether you want a CD or a audio tape. We even include the postage and handling, so that's all taken care of for you. We have a strong program tonight. It's a follow-up from yesterday's program. We have testimonies, and we've got some songs for you this evening that I'm sure you're going to want to hear. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this program. Lord, anoint this program. Also, anoint the hearts of all those out there, Lord, that are enemies of yours, that are doing everything in their power to fight you. Lord, like the Apostle Paul, appear to them in word or visibly to where they really know that you exist, that their souls might be saved. And Lord, open the hearts of those that are getting weak in the Lord, and let them realize, Lord, that this is an everyday walk of taking up the cross and following you, and that only those who continue to the end shall be saved. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, a real good friend of mine is P.J. Proby. He's still alive. He used to drink a lot, and he died three times in Florida. And I don't know why this man does the things he does. We're preaching the gospel to him. He sings extremely beautifully. He's the Beatles' favorite singer. And he also is Elvis Presley's favorite singer. As a matter of fact, before Elvis would do a song, he would ask P.J. Proby to do it. He would fashion the songs the same way P.J. did. And we have, he's done quite a few Christian songs, and one of them is He Touched Me. Listen and see if you can tell that Elvis sort of knocked him off a little bit. P.J. Proby is in England now and has been there for years. He was such a big star that people like Tony Bennett would come in and they would open the show for him. The weaker one always opens the show. P.J. Proby was the biggest thing in England. And they banned him from all radio stations because he doesn't like homosexuals. Now, if he got saved, he'd preach the gospel to them and, you know, not be so touchy about that, but he just openly talks how vile homosexuality is and lesbianism. I do the same thing, but I'm not vying for radio or TV time. I would like very much to be on television, but they've banned me as well. So here's my old buddy, P.J. Proby, to sing for you. And notice how similar Elvis made himself sound to P.J. Proby. This song is called He Touched Me.
And made me whole.
floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole.
Praise the Lord. P.J. Proby's from Texas. And when he sings that song for Elvis, Elvis never sang it quite like that. PJ says, swang down, sweet chariot. It says, swing down, sweet chariot. I'd like to play just a little bit of that. And go ahead and play it. You'll hear the similarity. He did this for Elvis, and Elvis sort of copied it.
Why don't you swang down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, over an easy ride. I've got a home on the other side. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, over an easy way. I've got a home on the other side. He saw an angel working on the chariot wheel. What was it so particular about the chariot wheel? He just wanted to see how a chariot feel. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy when I've got a home on the other side. Well, as he went down and he got on board, and Chad went a-bumpin' on down the road. See, what's so particular about the bumpin' of the road? He just wanted to lay down his heavy load. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy. Well, I've got a home on the other side. Well, I got a father in the promised land. Ain't no more stopping till I shake his hand. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy. Well, I've got a home on the other side. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy. Well, I've got a home on the other side.
Yeah. Okay, P.J. Proby. Actually, P.J. Did a stage presentation of the life of Elvis Presley in London in their most prestigious theaters there, and that ran for several years. P.J. is a wild man, no doubt about it, but that's the ones that the Lord came into this world to save. Amen?
Amen.
To save all the wild men and women, and to get them down to earth. It isn't any good for people to have gained fame and fortune like he has. Of course, as I said, they have banned him on radios because he's against homosexuality and against the one world government. You know, everybody, especially you Texas people, you know, you should go and buy some P.J. Proby records. He's the best singer, on a pop singer, that I have ever heard in my life. And not just because he's my friend, okay? So, and Elvis was one of my very, very best friends. As a matter of fact, Elvis used to tithe to this work while he was alive, to my work and Susie's work. And I didn't ever feel that there was any nicer person in the whole world that was my friends than Elvis Presley, H.B. Barnum, and, of course, the brothers and sisters here at the church. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They're my favorite people. Now we've got some testimonies. Where's the first one from?
from the Philippines.
Okay.
Dear Evangelist Tony Alamo, I have listened to your programs already for a period of time, and I am getting to understand Christianity. I am using the guidance of Jesus to order my life. I often pray to God for protection, and every time I sit by the radio listening to your programs, I feel like God especially cares for me. From your gospel programs, I have learned more about God's love and mercy. Therefore, my love for God has increased. God bless you always. Eugene from Quezon City, Philippines.
Right, that is what the Antichrist, you know, the news media can shut down anybody that they want to because they get their orders from Rome, Italy. And so that's why they shut me down, because we tell of the mercy and the goodness of God and Jesus our Lord, who is God. All right, and then now you have another one?
Yes, from Nigeria, Africa.
Okay.
Dear World Pastor Lamo, thank you for your materials that you sent to me. We rejoice in the hundreds of testimonies we receive each day from people who have been blessed by your literature. In the past, many have experienced an extraordinary spiritual awakening and found Christ in a remarkable way through your inspirational literature. We need more Bibles, tapes, CDs, Messiah books, T-shirts, and sweatshirts, all medium size and of any color. May the Lord bountifully reward your labor in prayer for all the saints and your work of spreading the gospel around the world. Yours for the African harvest, Evangelist Timothy from Imo State, Nigeria, Africa.
All right, now we're going to, we have about four more verses from the book of Judges, chapter 2 of Judges to read, and then I'm going to go into an exhortation in regards to anything clinging to our carnal heart's desires that we cannot do if we want to enter heaven. Okay, Sharon, go ahead.
Verse 20. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel.
Oh, the Lord gets hot and he gets angry. That's why they have, the Vatican has anger management. They don't want you to get angry at them. But what the problem is they're angry at God and God's people. No, God gets angry, and that's why he drowned the whole world. Amen?
Amen.
God gets angry. That's why he poured his wrath, his fire and brimstone out on Sodom and Gomorrah for all the homosexuals there and lesbians and fornicators and adulterers, because they wouldn't repent. And why have apple trees or orange trees or any kind of tree that doesn't bear fruit, fig trees, if there's no fruit? And so the Lord likens us as to trees, and that he wants us to bear fruit. Not just fruit, but it has to be good fruit. Amen?
Amen.
You can judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. So everyone that bears good fruit, the Lord purges it. In other words, he cuts it, just like we do plants. You know, at the bottom of a tree, there's a little bunch of suckers that grow up on it. You have to get them off, because what they do is sap the tree of its strength. And so he takes all the dross out of us, all the waste, all the fat. He likes to trim us down to where we're just exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to grow to the fullness of the stature of his only begotten Son, the one that he loves and brags that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay, and then what else? The next verse.
And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers.
Well, in other words, they made a promise, a deal, contract with the Lord, and they transgressed, they broke contract with the Lord. And so the Lord told him, if you break contract with me, I'm going to kill you. And anyone that doesn't walk according to the word, the Spirit of God, the life of God, the Lord will, if you don't repent, he's going to kill you or hurt you so bad that you wish you were dead. Then what?
Because that this people have transgressed.
Now this is the true God. This is the true Bible I'm preaching. And this is what the Vatican hates. This is what the world government hates that is led by the Vatican, and this is what the news media hates. They want to keep you so busy with wars that they contrive They make up wars. They're the ones that's causing every abomination, which is a major sin on the face of this earth. They keep you busy thinking about oil. They keep you thinking about the price of eggs and cheese and fish and all kinds of things like this. And they keep you busy thinking about everything else but Jesus. They dazzle you with footwork, and you believe them. That's the sad case. Okay, continue on.
Because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died.
Right, what the Lord does is lets your enemies eat you up alive if you transgress his law. So the enemy will come in and try to do everything that he can to make you frightened to where you... And get your mind off the Lord, because when you keep your mind on the Lord, you're at perfect peace, and you have a sound mind. Not a mind that's rattling around and roaming and listening to all the things that are on television. A lot of people's blood pressure is extremely high. And the reason for that is, one of the major reasons is they watch television. Because, I mean, they're just frightening you. Oh, somebody murdered. Somebody threw somebody out of a window. Somebody drowned their babies in the bathtub. Somebody is bombing some other country. And this other country is forming bombs, and they're threatening to, just to bring anybody's blood pressure up. If you listen to all that garbage, all that is distractions from Rome. And Rome really is the one, if you don't believe it, what they'll do is they'll send some bombs over and everything. But if you stay right with the Lord, he'll do you just like he did the children of Israel in Egypt. What he did is he set them aside. He sent them to another city. Amen?
Amen.
Do you remember the name of that city? Goshen? Isn't that right?
Yes.
Goshen, to where the plagues never got them. But then he started sending all these other things down, these plagues on the people of Egypt. 10 to be exact, and then he opened up the Red Sea and drowned the entire army of chariots. Lots of chariots, hundreds of them, and they weren't any longer. He did that after he delivered the children of Israel, after he opened the sea for them and they got on the other side. Then when the Egyptians were chasing them, the Lord drowned them all. And he's doing the same thing to people in this world today that are attacking the children of God, the children of God. Now, the people of Israel, if they just get down on their knees and accept the Messiah, Jesus the Lord, well, there'd be no problem. God would just do to their enemies as he did in the past when he first took them through the wilderness and they entered into the promised land. Like Jericho, all they did is followed what the Lord said, and the Lord destroyed them. The Hebrews never destroyed Egypt. It was God. They didn't even have a switchblade. They didn't even have a jackknife. Amen?
Amen.
They didn't even have a squirt gun. God destroyed them. And that's why I warn all you people that attack the children of the Lord, back off. Back off. Because God is still very much alive, and he's on the job. He's watching every move you make. He's watching you Christians out there, all of us, because he wants to see if we're going to, our knees are going to smite against each other, and that we're going to be frightened, and goose pimples will come up on us, and our hair will stand up on the back of our heads. No, the Lord tells us to take up the cross and be faithful even to the death. And if we are, we don't have a thing to worry about. We'll be in the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So the next verse...
I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations with which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not.
Yeah, see, yeah, everybody that's not with the one world government, they have enemies. Even the one world government has an enemy, and that happens to be God. And if God be against you, who could be for you? Amen?
Amen.
Like you could have all the armies in the world gathered together against God, and that won't help you at all.
Amen.
God knows how to, if you lock yourself in your bedchamber, that he could send the death angel down the corridors and right through the door and catch your little fat body while it's sleeping and pinch your little nose and glue your mouth shut so no air can get into your inflated body. Then what will you do? Will you say that you're going to attack Christians then when the Lord is sending his death angel in you to extract the breath out of the one breath that God put in your nose? You should be thankful for that breath. Amen?
Amen.
And you should do everything in your power to help Christian works because Christ is living in the people that you're persecuting. So in essence, what you're doing is you're persecuting Christ again in a big way. But, you know, I saw that beast, this dreadful-looking last government image coming at me. It was dreadful to look upon, but the Lord took him out of the way just when I said, the blood of Jesus against you. It's this beast, this one-world government led by the Vatican and its powers and the media is so powerful to look at, but really, you know, all it is a bunch of guys, weak flesh, that God is able to pull the string on them in any minute, any second. Amen?
Amen.
So trust the Lord with all your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. Amen?
Amen.
But he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear you pray, Father, do away with all these people that are hindering your work. It's the last days, Father. And Lord, we pray that you'll make the way clear for us to be able to get as much word, your word, out into the world so that people can get saved. And Lord, warn the world. You're doing it with all these tsunamis and earthquakes. They used to say it's Mother Nature, but there's no such thing as Mother Nature. You brag about sending these plagues down and all these sickness, diseases, and infirmities, and you'll end them if only they'll get on their knees and pray to you, Lord, stop it. I repent. I want to be a Christian. I don't want to be destroyed as you did Egypt, Sodom and Gomorrah, and all the other ones that you destroyed, Sennacherib's men. In Jesus' name, Father, destroy those that would destroy us if it weren't for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Okay, Sharon, continue.
Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua.
Right. Okay, read that again.
Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua.
Right, because you start sinning, God gives you things, and you start getting fat and sassy. And then God will start sending enemies into you. So it shows that we have to serve the Lord every day. What you don't want to do is anything, to have anything that is of the flesh cling to your carnal heart's desires. We will call for love in return. You know, you can call for love from God in return, but if you allow anything to cling, any evil thing to cling to your carnal heart's desires, you will call for love in return, but the Lord maintains that such a soul life or a flesh life needs to be delivered to death. We have to go to the cross and be there with him. We have to show our loved ones in the whole world that we love God more than anybody, including them. Though we do not now see him, we love him. We can't see him, but we can really see him move in our lives when we're doing what he says, and we can see him moving in our lives if we don't do what he says, because he'll curse us. He wants us to love him. And we walk by faith. If you believe, then do love him. He desires us to deny our natural love. You know, he showed us that when he showed us Abraham. He told Abraham to go up on Mount Moriah and to kill his son Isaac. Amen?
Amen.
And Abraham showed that He loved God more than the natural love that he had for his son, and he loved his son a bunch. Amen?
Amen.
His son, it took a long time for that son to come into being, but nevertheless, he took him up the mount and was ready to slay him because he had faith that God was able to raise him up from the dead, because God told Abraham that his seed would bless all the nations of the world, and that hadn't happened yet, so he was willing to slay him because he believed that God would raise him up again. His desire is to rid us, God's desire is to rid us of all of our natural love towards Isaac. Amen?
Amen.
Our Isaac, whoever your Isaac is. So others, he loves towards others so that we will not love with our own carnal love or our natural love. God wants us to love with his love. He wants to enter into us and show people what love really is. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. Of course, it's his will that we should love others. He tells us, love your wives, amen.
Amen.
But not more than me, he says, amen.
Amen.
Love your wives and love your children, but not more than me. But not with our natural fleshy, soulical affections. If we love, let it be for the sake of the Lord and for our soul's sake, our flesh's sake, because one of these days God will raise our flesh up. And not for their sakes, even though it is for their sakes as well. A new relationship comes to us, and the Lord, that's him. We must receive from him his love so that we may love his way. It says, yet not us, but the Lord in us can love others much better than we can with our natural love. In one word, our love must be governed by the Lord, not our flesh. Should God desire us to, we must love even our enemies. If he does not ask us to, he cannot love even our own household. He does not want our heart to be attached anywhere but him, because he wants us to serve him, capital H-I-M, and to serve him, H-I-M, freely, because he's the one that made us, and he's the one that entered into us and gave us the power to be able to love his way. That means our sons and daughters, our loved ones, will be saved. This new love relationship between this case, is the soul must be denied, our flesh must be denied. That is a cross for sure. In so obeying Christ as to disregard our natural affection, a believer's natural love suffers intensely. Such sorrow and pain becomes a practical cross for a person that loves the Lord. Now deep are the heart wounds, and many are the tears when one has to forfeit the one he loves. These inflict intense suffering upon our lives, but if our loved ones are attempting to draw us away from the house of God, then, you know, if we're going to be godly, this is radical to the unsaved people, we must do it. We must be drawn to the Lord if we want to be saved. I'm not going to hell for anybody. I don't care who they think they are or what they think they are. That's not the way I'm going to be. How very loathsome a soul, is to be yielded up to up its beloved for the Lord's sake. We don't like to do that. But through this very action, is the soul delivered, or the flesh is delivered to death. Yea, it even becomes willing to die. And thus the believer is liberated from the power of the flesh or the soul. Upon being, see, we're supposed to worship the Lord in the spirit, not our soul. Amen?
Amen.
But we're supposed to actually get so strong in the spirit that our soul does worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Upon losing its natural affection on the cross, the soul or the flesh gives up wrong. We give up wrong for right. We give up the wrong things of this world to the Holy Spirit, that He may shed abroad in the believer's heart the love of God and enable him to love in God. He makes it possible that we can love, that God in us can love, and with the that we can love everyone. In other words, keep the commandments towards everyone with the love of God. Now, we must see that humanly speaking, the expression of our soul is quite legitimate. It is. For it is the most natural, and it is not defiled as is sin. It's not the love that we have, that I've mentioned before, shared by all humans. Even Hitler loved his wife, amen?
Yeah.
And she loved to see him kill and murder. Isn't that carnal love, amen?
Amen.
And many females would love to see their husbands come home after robbing a 7-Eleven or a gas station or something. You know, there's a lot of fleshy humans in this world today. Or somebody that snatches a purse from some poor lady. What illegitimacy can there be in loving those of our own family? What could be wrong with that? Therefore, we know that our Lord is calling us to overcome the natural, or the carnal, the flesh, even to the point of denying our legal right for the sake of God and for our own sakes. God wants us to love Him more than our little children, as Abraham loved Isaac. It's true that our soul life is given, or our flesh life is given, by the Creator. Nevertheless, He does desire us not to be governed by the soul, the fleshly life, principles. People of the world do not understand why only we who believe, those of us that are losing ourselves gradually into the life of God, can comprehend the meaning. We're the only ones that are able to comprehend the meaning of that we should love God more than anybody else. Amen?
Amen.
Why shouldn't we? He created us, and it's Him that gives us eternal life. And it's Him that created heaven for us to live in, and it's Him that created hell for people that won't do what He says. He doesn't want a bunch of unruly people in heaven, amen?
Amen.
And He's going to make sure that they're not there.
Amen.
Who is there that can appreciate God's asking Abraham to sacrifice Isaac when God Himself had given Isaac to Abraham? How can you do that? Well, God, look at this, God gave His only begotten Son. He says God has prepared a sacrifice, His own Son. So He said, Abraham, Abraham, don't kill him. Don't kill your son, because I'm going to send my son. But because of the fact that now I know that you love me and you will keep my commandments, I'm going to bless you more than anybody in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Those who are able to understand God's heart, well, bless him more than anybody in the world. Yes, this, the Messiah, who's going to come in. The sacrifice of God is going to come into this world and die for the sins of everyone. And if everyone would come to the Lord, they wouldn't have to spend eternity in the lake of fire. So this is why God loved Abraham, because he believed God. Those who are able to understand God's heart make no attempt to cling to God imparted gifts. Why should we cling to a gift that God gives us? God gave it and he can take it away. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, Isaac was a gift, but we don't cling to that gift more than clinging to God. What kind of person would that be? Rather, we desire to rest or Sabbath in rest in God. We rest in him and say, yeah, we know he's not evil. He's not going to do anything wrong to us. The giver of all gifts is the one that we cling to. I cannot be hung up because of gifts that God gives me more than God himself. The will of God, see, he took everything, he allowed Job for everything to be taken away from him, but then he gave him twice as much when Job received it. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't accuse God or rail on him at all. The will of God for us is to be attached to nothing aside from him, with a capital H. So if I get a new car, why am I attached to that for? If I get a new house, or God gave it to me, and I love the one that gave the car to me rather than the car.
Amen.
Amen? It's him that I'm attached to, whether it be man. We can't be attached to the human race or a present or any that God gives us or anything or even something conferred on us by God himself. He gave it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He takes it away, and it's just to check us out, to see if we love him more than the car or the son or the daughter or the mother or the father. Many Christians are quite disposed to leave Ur of the Chaldees, but few there be who can see the need of this sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Well, Mount Moriah is where Abraham took Isaac up to for an offering. Amen?
Amen.
They can't see that. This is where God and Abraham told Abraham to give Isaac as a sacrifice. This is one of the most penetrating lessons of faith and relates to our being united with God and only God. God requires his children to forsake everything that they may be entirely his. They must not only rid themselves of whatever they know to be harmful, but also yield to the cross whatever is seemingly legitimate, even if it's of the Lord, such as affection. Affection, carnal or fleshy or spiritual affection, in order that they may be entirely under the authority of the Holy Spirit. The demand of the Lord is most meaningful, for is it not true that human affection is tremendously uncontrollable? Without consigning it to the cross and losing it, affection can become a formidable obstacle to spiritual life. Human feelings change as the world changes. One minute people are combing their hair like Tony Curtis. The next minute they're combing their hairs like the Beatles. There's changes, amen?
Amen.
And you don't dare criticize the Beatles' hair, amen, during that time. But now you don't want to do that because that's not in style. But God is always in style, amen?
Amen.
The easy excitement can occasion a saint to lose his spiritual balance and also their soul. Their constant disturbance can affect a believer's peace in his spirit and can also cause him to lose his soul. Do not sorrows, moaning, sighs, and tears usually result from hurt feelings? Sure they do. If the Lord is not preeminent in our affections, he can hardly be Lord in other respects. We have to put the Lord first, or else if we put him second in any respect, then he's not our Lord, and you're making something else your Lord. All this is a test from the Lord regarding spirituality and a measure of its degree. The Lord can tell to how much, what degree you love him, and that you've given up this flesh, the lusts, the carnal, all these different things, and to replace them as God. We must accordingly hate our soul life, our flesh life, and refuse its affections to have free rein for the Lord's work. We can't do that. We can't do the Lord's work that way. Our Lord's demand differs completely from our natural desires. What we previously loved shall now be hated. And even the organ which generates love, our soul life, must be abhorred as well. In other words, hated. Such is the spiritual way. That's the way of the Holy Spirit in our spirit to worship the Lord. The Lord says that those that love him must worship him in our spirit and in truth. That's just the way it is, folks. If we verily bear the cross, we shall be neither controlled nor influenced by our soul or fleshly affections, but shall be fit to love in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people don't care if they're led by the Holy Spirit or if they love by the Holy Spirit. Woe unto you if that's your case. Even so did the Lord Jesus love his family while he was here on earth, but God always came first. Some people give the trash that they have to Christian works, when the Bible plainly states that we're to give the best that we have. Amen?
Amen.
Not just the best we have, the very best we have. When Jesus told us, his disciples, quote, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would, anybody who would save his life will lose it. That means his fleshy or soul life. Anyone that will not give it up. And whoever loses his fleshy soul life, for my sake, will find it. That can be found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. Again, our Lord is calling his disciples to take up the cross by presenting their flesh or their soul life to death. Where is the emphasis in Matthew 10? It is the affection of the soul. That's what the Lord doesn't want. He wants you to be in the spirit with him, your spirit with his. Here in Matthew 16, the soul of the soul is brought into view from the preaching verses. You can learn that the Lord Jesus was at that time unfolding to his disciple his approaching a rendezvous with the cross. Out of his intense love for the Lord, Peter blurted out, "Lord, pity yourself." Peter was mindful of the flesh, or mankind, urging his master to spare himself from the pains of the cross in the flesh. Peter failed to understand how man ought to be mindful of the things of God, even in such matters as death on the cross. He wasn't able to see that concern for God's will must far exceed the concern for self or flesh. His attitude went something like this: "Though by dying on the cross, one shall obey God's will and fulfill God's purpose, yet ought not one to think of himself?" No, we're supposed to give up self on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Shouldn't we think of ourselves? Should he not be mindful of the pain that he will experience on the cross? "Oh, Lord, pity yourself," Peter said. What was the Lord's answer to Peter? He sternly rebuked him and declared that such an idea as self-pity could only have originated from Satan. Then he continued by saying to his disciples, "It is not I alone who will go to the cross, but all of you who follow and desire to be my disciples must also go to the cross. As my way is, so shall your way be." Should Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me and you too. And if you don't bear it, you're not going to heaven. You're going to be in the lake of fire. He doesn't want us to incorrectly imagine that I alone must do God's will. All of you as well shall do his will, or else. In the same manner as I am not mindful of myself and unconditionally obey God's will, even to the death of the cross, so shall you deny yourself and be willing to lose your life in obedience to God. Peter told the Lord, "You must pity yourself, Lord." The Lord came back with, quote, "You must deny yourself, Peter." There's a price to pay in following God's will. We have to prepare ourselves for sorrow. The flesh trembles at such a prospect, while the soul life, or the flesh life, reigns supreme within most people. Yea, everyone, unless we deny the flesh and have it crucified, we are unfit to accept God's orders because it wishes to follow its will, the flesh's will, and not God's will. When he calls us to deny ourselves through the cross and remove everything for his sake, our natural life instantly responds with self-pity. This reminds us that to render ourselves unwilling to pay the cost for God, life in evermore in heaven, and to be able to say, out of the lake of fire, to stay out of there. Therefore, wherever we choose the straight and narrow path to the cross, of the cross, and endure for Christ's sake, our soul life shall suffer loss, our flesh life. So this is how we lose that life. Only in the way, this way, can the spiritual life of Christ be enthroned, pure and supreme, undertaking within us whatever is well-pleasing to God and beneficial to man. So if we take note of this incident between Peter and the Lord, we can readily perceive how wicked can be the functioning of this fleshy, soulful life. Peter uttered those carnal words of his immediately upon receiving revelation from God to know the mystery hitherto unknown to men, that the lonely Jesus whom they were following was indeed the Christ of the living God. Directly following such an awesome revelation, Peter was led captive by his self-life into attempting to persuade his master to pity himself. How this ought to impress us with the fact that no amount of spiritual revelation and lofty knowledge can ever guarantee freedom from the dominion of the soul or the flesh. On the contrary, the higher our knowledge and the more profound our experience is, the more hidden shall be our fleshly life, our soul life, and the harder, consequently, to detect and eject the flesh. Well, I see that my time is up. I would love so much to have finished this message this evening, but I'll take it up tomorrow, so make sure you tune in for another powerful message from the Lord. But right now, before we sign off, I'd love to give everybody an opportunity to end their flesh life and come unto the Lord for spiritual life. If God himself denied his flesh and came into the will of the living God, how much more should we? Don't delay in doing this, because you don't know whether you're going to live another day, another night, another morning. So say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away if they're sincere. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And share and tell the people in Radio Land four different ways how they can receive a copy of this program, number 437. Remember, it's free. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505. Or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, I just listened to a choir sing, "Onward Christian Soldiers." It was like, you know, it's a party with a little candle type cross or something. But I'd like to sing for you the most sincere meaning of "Onward Christian Soldiers," and make sure you tune in tomorrow. I've got a real strong message for you tomorrow. Onward Christian Soldiers, everyone.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. the day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the Royal Master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to one. With the cross of Jesus, because